If you want to become financially independent, come to my seminar. Let me show you how to make the fortune you have always dreamed about.
Ready? Go!
What happens if you are named
in Nelson Rockefeller's will?
You get rich quick.
Stand on the line, play the game again. Everybody's gonna lose and I'm gonna win. Gonna get rich quick.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and based on our analytics, mostly gentlemen age 44 to 55, to another episode of Get Rich Quick with Josh
and Noel.
And as always, for the mere paltry sum of 10%, we will just throw our ideas at you to get you super rich.
That's right. For any new listeners, that's the deal. We sit on our butts. We think of genius ideas around a topic to get you fabulously wealthy, and you give us 10%. You tithe us.
Genius ideas. Ooh, genius ideas. Yeah, I mean, and that's it's a simple method. We don't ask for a lot from you guys.
No.
You know, we ask for your feedback, which you haven't been giving us, but hopefully we'll be getting some in the near future. And we ask you for 10% once you get wealthy off of the ideas that we give you. We feed them to you. We spoon feed them to you.
That's right. And Radio Free Brooklyn, our host, asks for nothing.
Asks for nothing.
Yeah.
That's right. It's all going to us. It's not going to any corporate overlords. It's going to Josh and Noel.
That's right.
Of Get Rich Quick with Josh.
And Noel. We're just going to go on a loop.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
Uh-huh. Anything new and interesting going on in your life?
Well, not so much. You know, when I was leaving here, actually, last time, get around the corner, and there's two cabbies out of their cabs arguing, and they start throwing punches. They're in a fist fight in the middle of the street. And so I stop and I'm watching, and it ends up what drove them, two New York cabbies, into a fist fight in the middle of the street was one was accusing the other one of having honked at him.
No.
And he was saying, "No, I didn't honk at you." Yeah.
Uh-huh. And that almost came into I almost had a situation like that with a livery car driver who I was parked sitting in my mother's car, and he pulled in and he proceeded to back in, pull forward, smack into my bumper, which pissed me off, but I let it slide. Then he backed up, smacked into the guy behind him's bumper, then he pulled forward and smacked into my bumper again, at which point I stuck my hand up and flipped him the bird.
Sure.
This guy got out of his car so furious.
Wow.
And comes running over to my car, and this was in the summertime many years ago, and I just started rolling up my window just enough so we could have a conversation, and he starts cuts right in the window, and he's furious. He's like, "You are saying fucking to me. I am saying fucking to you. Fucking to you. You are saying fucking to me." It was crazy. There, you know, look, you're in a car. You're driving in a car 14 hours a day, 12 hours a day, which these guys are. Their shifts are 12 hours long.
Yeah.
They can choose to drive as much of it as they want. But, you know, a lot of these guys, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. Oh, God, I can't imagine. I mean, I get angry after driving around New York City for an hour. I can't imagine what 12 hours of that is like.
It'd kill you, obviously.
And, I mean, I hate cabbies because they're the worst drivers in the world. Imagine being a cabbie having to drive around other cabbies all day.
Ugh.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
It's the worst. You know, I mean, it's like, although being in a cab and being a cab driver is you know, it's its own weird little sort of social strata. I wonder if they have different symbols and things that only cab drivers know that, you know, they mark on things like restaurants to go to that give a deal for cabbies or gas stations that are the best cab deal gas stations.
Probably.
You know, symbols and things not unlike secret societies do. oh my God, really? Did that just happen? Did I just link that story to our topic for the day, Noel?
Which is secret societies.
It's true. We tap on them, especially earlier on. I mean, I know we're not like a grand dame of podcasts here. We haven't been around that long, but you know, we're 28, 29 episodes in now. Certainly in the earlier part, secret societies, particularly the Illuminati.
Yeah. Okay. Major play.
Major play. We gave them a lot more credit, I think, than they actually deserved. in the world of getting rich.
That's right, but this week they deserve all the credit because they are the topic.
They are. Or they and their brethren. And there are many, many, many secret societies out there.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, I have a friend who I initially was going to say, oh, we're doing this, we should have him in as a guest, but it's kind of pointless. And he was a member of a secret society.
Okay.
A very well-known secret society known as Skull and Bones on the Yale campus.
Oh, wow, you're a fancy friends you got, eh?
Yeah, well, I have friends, you know. I think they chose him, they tapped him because they wanted a little... they were trying to be a little more democratic,
okay.
Bring in some people who weren't sort of the usual, like he's never going to be president.
Okay.
I'm not going to say his name because I don't know. You know, we have people of power out there who listen to us. and I don't want to implicate him.
Sure.
You know, but even, I mean, I've known this guy since high school.
Mm-hmm.
And he is not, you know, of the George W. Bush world or anything like that, you know. But just the fact that he got tapped and we, meaning all of his friends, heard about this. Of course, the ball busting commenced in a massive way. But he genuinely would not answer any questions about it.
Really?
Not a single thing. He listens to the show occasionally, I think, and... You know, I'd be curious, you know, he'll say, oh, no, bullshit. There's nothing to talk about. But, you know, you ask him straightforward questions and very evasive or just straight up just like, oh, it's not like that. Well, then what is it like? It's just, you know, like that. Very strange. So like having him on the show would have been completely pointless.
Sure. You know, if we ever do revisit this show, as we'll discuss a little later.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get some guests.
Well, we can have guests who can tell us more about it. You know, if we do revisit this show a little later, we may have to do it as a to recant the show,
uh-huh.
to as an apology because our corporate overlords have forced us to, because their overlords,
yeah,
the Illuminati, have laid the law down, because we're going to blow the doors wide open.
Wide open, guys. You're getting in. You're going to be in a secret society, and you are going to be controlling the world.
The world.
The economy.
All of the money.
The media.
Everything we read, everything we watch, everything we hear.
You'll be putting mind-controlling fluoride in the water.
Oh, delicious, delicious fluoride.
Yeah. Putting out GMOs to make us weak and reliant.
Poor, sad, pathetic humans. So, Noel.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me, as one doesn't even have to do a whole lot of research on secret societies, but it seems to me, as secret societies evolved over time,
yep.
and became the secret societies as we know them now, they really became the home of the wealthy and the powerful.
Yes.
So they already started off incredibly rich.
Mostly, yeah.
Yeah, mostly. I mean, I guess there were some self-made men who then ended up getting invited in. But when once you're in the secret society,
mm-hmm.
it's sort of an indicator of your level of power at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, taking away the Freemasons, for instance, I mean, they're ones you can get into and you can work your way up.
Sure.
Certainly. But so, you know, it becomes, the question becomes, well, how do I, Josh Rubin, or you, Noel Dineen, Order of the Dineenians.
Yeah.
get rich quickly off of this.
Oh,
I mean, how do you get involved with a secret society and just be like, boom, I'm it.
I got lots of ways.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I do.
All right. Well, why don't you throw one out at me?
Okay. You know what? Let me first. I wanted to discuss this because in looking back over secret societies, I saw one that it's no longer around, mm-hmm. and I had read about before, and they are they're fascinating to me.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of the Assassins?
No.
Okay, so during the Crusades
mm-hmm.
in the Middle East, there was in Persia this secret order of the Assassins. And the leader would buy boys from impoverished families
mm-hmm.
and raise them their whole life to be fighting assassins.
Nice.
And totally had these people brainwashed into total fealty.
Mm-hmm.
I can't speak.
Fealty.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
To him.
Uh-huh.
And he would, he would like, if he wanted to get you, he would have these guys go undercover for years and become like your right-hand men.
Oh, really?
And then one day, they would take
wow.
you out. And
now, were they called assassins? Is this
yes.
sort of like the root, how we know assassins?
Yes.
Because this group of, like the thuggies in India were assassins there, and that's how we came up with thug. That's where thug comes from.
Oh, okay.
From.
Yeah.
But okay.
Yeah. Yeah. These were the assassins.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who Saladin is?
I know of the name, yeah.
Okay, so he was a guy, I forget if he was from Iraq or Syria,
mm-hmm.
but he basically took over Egypt and then was trying to take over Syria as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to try and unite all Arabs, including the assassins, which they had a problem with.
Uh-huh.
So there's many legends of what went down between them. But one of them is that Saladin woke up one day and in his pillow next to him was a note telling him to back off with a dagger through it.
Uh-huh.
And then later, a year later or something like that, he woke up and on his chest was a poisoned cake. But then there's another one.
Was it his birthday?
It was, no, it was,
just
hey,
a poison cake.
Well, it was basically, look, we can get to you
anytime
we
right,
want.
I got it.
And there's another one that said that they decided to have, like, a truce talk.
Uh-huh.
And Saladin was allowed to bring his most trusted bodyguards only. So he goes up into the mountains and speaks with the leader of the assassins.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like an old man.
Mm-hmm.
And Saladin's like a big fancy guy, controls a bulk of the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And the old guy's just like, yeah, you're gonna stop this. You're going to have no more aggressions towards us. You're going to let us do whatever we want to do. And Saladin's like, I don't know about that. Why would I want to do that? and the old guy's just like, well, I can have you killed whenever I want.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, even right now, I can have you killed. And Saladin's like, what are you talking about? I'm here with my best, my brightest, my most loyal bodyguards. And the assassin's leader goes, kill him. And his two most trusted bodyguards draw their swords, and Saladin's like, all right, all right, all right.
What I like about this is that conversation,
yeah,
I feel like happened on a street in Chicago somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's fantastic. I've seen that conversation happen in various modes. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So that was more than that was a secret society for sure.
Yes.
It was also more than a secret society, I feel. I feel like it was a culture. There was, I mean,
yeah.
And then what happened to the assassins? Did they just dissipate after the old man died?
They got wiped out by the Mongols.
Oh, they did, really?
Yeah. They would climb on the sides of the mountains and then try to jump down on the Mongols. And then the Mongols just were just a wave of
right
unstoppable, and you know, they right. won.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
And there was no way that he was turning Mongol kids. He didn't have the time to turn Mongol kids into assassins.
Well, I think really what happened, too, is the Mongols are never going to let any of their guys become their trusted right-hand guy.
Right.
You know, they're too far outsider.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Yeah. So, it you know, he would have had to have captured Mongol kids well before and raised them in that Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
As it were. Not unlike the video game.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
One of the European first big guys in the Crusades
mm-hmm.
was in some city in Syria had taken over. And he had these two Christian clerics for years in this town who were like in his entourage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then one day they just pulled out the knives and killed him. They were imposters the whole time. The assassins were crazy.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. There's so much. If you ever read like Conan books and stuff
that,
it's so much of that is based on these guys.
That actual the story you told about that meeting with Saladin and the assassin leader. I don't know what movie it was in. But I saw it recently where there was some meeting. I don't think it was. They obviously changed it around for effect. It wasn't Saladin who went there, but it was somebody went there to talk to the assassin leader. And mm-hmm. it was obviously they had plucked that little historical nugget out
sure.
and used it in their screenplay.
Yeah.
Therefore, blurring the lines between entertainment and fact.
Yeah.
All the way. You know. Most secret societies, as we know them today,
mm-hmm.
started off as places for people to get together who didn't have guilds,
mm-hmm.
right? Who maybe thought outside of the mainstream at the time, which now we think they would actually be heroes to us, that thought were not necessarily pro-monarchy. Were not necessarily, or were more pro-democracy, that wanted to talk about things at the time that were illegal, such as being free,
mm-hmm.
such as not necessarily believing in religion.
Yep, or the same religion that's the state-sponsored,
right? Would use it as places of learning.
Yep.
The Freemasons, for instance, started off during a period of time where cathedrals were being built like crazy. Certain Masons were known as Freemasons, meaning that they were legally allowed to travel around the country. They were not serfs to anyone, and work anywhere they wanted to because the need for Masons was so great, and most of them were Master Masons, and it was not. No one was free back then.
Yeah.
You were either a lord or you were a serf.
Yeah.
And if you were a serf, you were loaned out to people if they needed you. But to actually be a regular person and be quote-unquote free was not known.
Mm-hmm.
And so they made these, didn't have guilds, so they made these Freemason halls where they would go and they would be able to discuss and they'd pass information back and forth and learn about things. And so in periods of time, they started using trigonometry and algebra and physics, and they were learning sciences, all obviously to help with the building of these massive cathedrals. And then over time, they started allowing in architects and people who had a little more money and maybe were a little more learned and who wanted to learn more.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started to become more
They sold out.
Well, okay. You can call it selling out. Sure, sure. But so I was thinking, well, you know, why not make your own secret society?
All right. Okay.
You know what I mean? It seems like they come and they go,
mm-hmm.
right? There are societies that are still standing, and then there are ones that died out almost 300 years ago
mm-hmm.
that they're just kind of discovering now, like the Oculus, for instance, which was eye surgeons and okay. they were all about the cataract. And actually, interestingly enough, there was just a over the past 10 years, there was all of this writing in a secret code
mm-hmm.
that was found that no one could decipher. Someone finally figured it out, and they've been able to decipher all of the stuff from the Oculus and going back 250, 300 years and who they were and what they were about. It's very interesting. Oculus, O-C-C-U-L-I-S-T-S, if you can look it up and you can find out what they were all about. But again, a group that was all about inclusiveness, all about science, all about democracy and tolerance. And they had to create these secret societies to exist and have these discussions amongst themselves. And then also create a secret language, as it were, of symbols
mm-hmm.
and codes so they could pass information back and forth without it being discovered by the powers that be and then being killed or tortured or both. But I said to myself, well, how would I go about starting my own secret society nowadays that people would want to join? So I said, why not just see if I can learn about that on the internet? And sure enough, it doesn't really take much.
It does not.
And I'm going to tell you all out there, you just have to come up with your secret society name and get yourself a good website. I found a couple places, secret societies. And interesting what they do is they, you know, have certain things, obviously, as you would expect, that when you type in certain things, how do I join a secret society? How do I create a secret society? You're going to get hits on their website. And when you go to their website, let's go to this one, thehiddenbrotherhood.com.
Uh-huh.
Join a real secret society, thehiddenbrotherhood.com. They have a nice banner that... is a nice skull and crossbones with some cryptic imagery on it. Lots of X's, lots of flames, several different images, all clearly representing different things. And you go on, they tell you about what it is to join a secret society, what secret societies are, but then you can join. And to join, you have to pay a certain fee.
Okay.
And within that fee, what you get is you will get access, because the benefits of the Hidden Brotherhood is a brotherhood of power, a shelter and protection for these uncertain and dangerous times when both chaos and opportunity will abound and fortune will be won and lost. Membership in the Brotherhood is the passport that provides connection to a powerful and concealed network of fellow members who, through superior knowledge and united brotherhood, join forces to attain success, power, and prosperity, even in the hardest time.
All right.
So it's like an upscale networking. But you pay $450. You also get, with that money, and then you also have to tithe, and you also have to pay a membership and an annual membership fee.
Yeah.
You get access to the learnings of the Secret Brotherhood. Now, I did not join to see what those learnings are. I wasn't going to go that far because I really didn't want to be inundated with spam from the Hidden Brotherhood. But it's a great idea that you can just create it. The people who want to join secret societies don't need a lot of convincing, I kind of feel.
Well, yeah, maybe they're just want to get those knowledge, get those riches.
They want to get those riches.
That's why people listen to us.
That's right. They want to get those riches. And so then I thought, well, maybe we should create our secret society, right?
Uh-huh.
And use this platform entirely as a way to get people into our secret society, right? We've already got a certain cult-like following.
Yes.
We share knowledge, riches, and eventually power with our people. We request a tithe. Our name isn't cryptic enough. We have certain symbols right now that we're building on, such as the pea jar and our logo, the clownish Benjamin Franklin. But maybe we can do more.
Okay.
So maybe that's something we can think about.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Creating our own secret society. The Rubinians, the I don't know. We got to come up with something good. It can't just be the get rich quick with Josh and Noel secret society.
Oh, but then no one would suspect. Right?
Maybe.
What's more secret than that?
Uh-huh. It's true. They would never know. They would just think it's another. Podcast. It's just the podcast.
Yeah.
Good idea.
You know, I also looked on the internet.
No.
As a matter of fact.
Did you?
Yeah, but about, I wanted to go for the classic. So I looked at how to join the Illuminati,
uh-huh,
which is, as we know, one of the pillars of this planet.
It is.
And I on many of the sites I looked at, the ways to join the Illuminati were basically become one of the captains of industry, a leader of the world, mm-hmm, you know, things like that. And it's like, okay, well, that's not how you and I can get in. I did find one website called IlluminatiRex.com, and amongst all his ways to join of become a captain of industry, he also had ways not to join, which he said, avoid blood sacrifices. He claims that many mass murderers throughout time have been trying to curry favor with the Illuminati and join.
It's
not the way to go.
Okay.
He says, don't buy a DVD or attend seminars. That's just a scam.
Wait a second. Are you saying the Brotherhood is a scam?
Well, according to Illuminati Rex.
Okay.
He also says, don't send random Illuminati-related websites your contact information, which we've looked at before in our, which episode was it, where all those Illuminati, in cults, and
yes,
they had the Illuminati cults,
mm-hmm,
and I traced back a lot of these websites, and they were all Nigerian-owned.
Right.
So this guy's right. They're scams, right?
Uh-huh.
So I started thinking, how can the little guy get in without becoming a titan of industry? You know, that's unrealistic. If you're already there, you're already rich.
Right, exactly.
So I started thinking about it. And the Illuminati is famous, just like calling our secret society Get Rich Quick with Josh and Noel. The mm-hmm Illuminati is famous for hiding in plain sight.
Yes.
You know, they're a secret society, but yet their pyramid is on our dollar.
All over the place.
Our military building is the Pentagon.
That's right.
You know, everywhere you look, they have just rubbed it in our face that we are controlling you. We're right here. They're a secret society that's not trying to hide.
Mm-hmm.
So the thought to me of the fact that they have to have a website that you can go and just sign up for, because the thought of them not is almost counterintuitive to everything that we know about the Illuminati how they like to be in plain sight.
It goes against their hubris.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, but the problem is, how do you pick out it? And if you look up on Google how to join the Illuminati, you get thousands of results of websites that are all trying to get your personal information to get you to join.
It's a morass.
We know that all but one is just trying to take your information, steal your identity, make a scam, you know, probably open credit cards in your name. Who knows what they're going to do? So how do you find the right one? I've got the answer.
What is it?
You don't. So I could spend years trying to find the right website to sign up for the Illuminati.
Right.
Or
I
can
sign
up for every single website. And one of them is correct. And once the Illuminati gets my application, I'll be in the Illuminati and I will be able to crush anyone who tries to scam me. So the answer isn't find the right website. The answer is fill out all the applications on all the websites and then crush anyone who tries to pull anything on you.
So, wow, that... Okay, so I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around this. So you're saying you're going to apply to every single Illuminati website, which could be in the thousands.
It is in the thousands. Okay, yes.
In applying to them, the assumption is that you will be accepted to all of them.
Yes,
and therefore, one of them is going to be the real Illuminati website.
One's real. The others are all just trying to...
One of them is going to be the real one. And then as a member of that one, you will then crush all of the other ones that claim to be otherwise. Or will you leave them alone until they try...
Unless they try to scam me.
Right.
They try to pull anything on me, crushed.
So what I've noticed is on most of those websites, they're asking for money.
Okay.
So my only concern about this is you're going to be out a lot, and maybe you just look at it as an investment.
Uh-huh.
You're going to be out a lot of money.
No. Well, you know what? If they're a scam.
Right.
And you don't give them that money.
Uh-huh.
They're not going anywhere. They're still going to be like, oh, hey, yeah, thanks for responding. And they'll keep you on the line in hopes of getting that money in the future. Yeah, so just don't pay any money they're asking for up front.
Okay.
The real Illuminati is not asking for money.
Well, so maybe could that possibly be what you're looking for?
No, I'm going to fill out them all.
You're going to fill them all out?
Every single one. Because they may be hiding behind the guys that we're going to ask for money.
I wonder if, I mean, that's certainly a test.
Yeah.
Right? To see how far you're willing to go to be in the Illuminati. I mean, if it were a situation where all you had to do was fill out a piece of paper, wouldn't everyone kind of be in the Illuminati?
No, because everyone's trying to figure out the right piece of paper. No one's just filling out every single piece of paper. That's the difference. That's the secret.
All right. Seems like a lot of paperwork to fill out.
Yeah.
You know, the other issue is you're going to be filling out a lot of people. You're going to be giving out a lot of your personal information.
Yeah, and then we'll crush them. But you know the secret of getting the right lottery number?
Buy just tons of tickets.
Having all the numbers. Exactly.
Having all the numbers. You know, at the $1.5 billion Powerball was recently.
Yeah.
And I woke up that morning after having bought my tickets, re-listening to episode 3, which was all about lotteries.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I shouldn't have had to re-listen to it, but sometimes you need your memory boosted.
Well, apparently someone in Florida, someone in Tennessee, and someone in California did listen, and they did win.
Yes, exactly. Chino Hills, California, and Florida and Tennessee, and those clearly the states that listen to us most. But I went and got my lottery tickets, and I woke up the next morning, and like a kid at Christmas, I threw open my computer and looked up nylottery.gov and saw the numbers and realized that I didn't win. But somewhere in there, as I was perusing through my daily news stuff, I read somewhere very quickly, and I think it was a fake because I haven't heard anything about it since, that supposedly one of the winners was some hedge fund guy who dropped $15,000 on tickets.
Wow.
And then said, you know, I don't really need the money. But it's just like icing on the cake.
Oh.
But I haven't seen anything about that person since.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then I'm thinking Chino Hills, Tennessee, like wherever the hell it is in Florida. I don't picture a lot of hedge fund managers in those. Although Chino Hills is in Orange County.
Okay.
And there are some very pricey areas in Orange County. I don't know exactly where Chino Hills are. If any of you out there are in Chino Hills,
let us know what your neighborhood's like.
And we'll see if that's a fact.
Yeah.
But I may be around that time right about now.
Is that time right around now. So every week we have a topic. We explore ways in which you can just claim untold wealth. But we also slip a little something else in there for you. A little extra little tidbit of a way for you to become fabulously wealthy. Come back later, listen to the rest of the show, and get more wealthy. So, once again, brought to you by Radio Free Brooklyn, take it away, Josh.
The Get Rich Quick Tip of the Week, brought to you by Radio Free Brooklyn.
And one day we were talking about the importance of package design, and someone said package design didn't matter. I thought if I could package something that absolutely nobody would ever want to buy and can get somebody to buy it, then I knew my design was successful. So I stared down at the Times Square and, oh, garbage. Start with a centerpiece and then I arrange other elements around it and try to make it visually appealing. And I put a label on it that says Garbage of New York City, 100% authentic, handpicked from the fertile streets of New York, New York. I seal the top shut so it won't leak or smell. I put a sticker on that the date the garbage was picked, and then I sign and number each one. Initially they were 10 bucks, which was fine, but then I couldn't really keep up with the demand. So I raised the price to $25 to curb sales, but they kept selling. And I raised it to $50, and they kept selling. And a funny thing happened. When I was selling for $10, people thought of it as like a crappy kind of gag gift. And at $25, people thought they were a nice New York souvenir. And then $50, people started considering them art. And of course, if regular garbage is $50, limited edition is $100. And I've sold over 1,300 cubes to people in over 30 countries.
1,300 cubes. He had those, like, clear plastic cubes mm-hmm. that you can buy, and he just picks garbage up off of the street
yep.
and stuffs it in there. He arranges a little bit, slaps a label on, as he says. The limited edition ones were Times Square garbage after New Year's.
Yep.
He did a very limited edition one of Barack Obama's inauguration from D.C.,
mm-hmm.
and there were a couple others.
Yeah, well, we actually spoke about this person, or I did, in our trash episode, that he was one of my schemes I brought up. But I think what the important thing that he said here that we didn't necessarily focus on in mm-hmm. that was when he sold it for $10, they thought it was funny. When he sold it mm-hmm. for $25, they thought it was a souvenir. When he sold it for $50 and above, they started considering it art.
Right.
So whatever, take that lesson and apply it to whatever you want to do, and you want to charge a lot of money for something so that people will really value it.
It's the essence of luxury marketing.
That's right.
Right? They're taking something, slapping an enormous sticker on it, and just by doing that, it makes it more valuable in
yeah.
your head.
Yeah, sure does.
You know what I mean? We talk about this all the time. Drop some gold on it, throw a couple jewels on it,
yeah.
mark it up. It's not just a regular cell phone. It's the most special cell phone ever.
Sure. And what this guy's doing, too, isn't even that. He's just nope. charging more.
Charging more.
He's taking yeah. the same trash and charging more.
Maybe that's our problem. Maybe we need to do that with the show. Maybe we need to have them tithe us, although it wouldn't be a tithe officially, but donate 20%.
No, that's not the
25%.
No, we'd give it out for free.
Well, see, that's the problem. Well, we're still giving it out for free, yeah. but just the tithe has to be more.
I'm good with 10%.
All right. Well, yeah. we haven't gotten it yet.
Well, it's coming. I'm sure it's in the mail right
all
now.
All right. Okay.
I could tell you were a little skeptical about my ideas of applying to every Illuminati site to join the Illuminati.
It seems a little intense.
Okay.
I'm afraid you're going to get, you're just setting yourself up for some troubles there.
Okay. Well, I found another way, an easier access way to get into an esteemed secret society.
Okay.
Do you know who the Ordo Templi Orientis is?
How would I know that? They're a secret society.
Well, but yeah, but they are one that is known.
Is it the Knights Templar?
No, they are not. They were founded by Aleister Crowley.
Oh, okay.
And they're still active. They've got a lot of overlap with all sorts of other secret societies, including the Illuminati.
Uh-huh.
They follow the laws of Thelema, which is do what thou will.
Oh, that's the secret society I want to be a part of.
Yeah. And they have a lot of, still at this point, very rich and famous members.
Names?
Yes. So very recently, Bob Geldof's daughter, Peaches, was outed as a member.
Well, that didn't end up well for her.
Why not?
She's passed away.
Did she?
Yeah.
Okay.
Last year sometime.
Oh, boys. They're hushing it up.
No, it was pretty big news.
No, but they're hushing up.
Oh, okay. That right. The fact that she's a member of this secret order.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Jimmy Page, Jay-Z members.
Oh, Jay-Z. Well, you know, Jay-Z is one of the big modern day Illuminati leaders.
Yeah.
You know, the diamond that he throws up, the Rockefeller sign that he throws up with mm-hmm. his hands together like Diamond Dallas Page.
Yep.
Is not a diamond. If you look at it, it is the Illuminati pyramid.
Yeah.
And then so many of the how do you join the Illuminati things that I saw were, well, if you're not a good enough artist to be signed by Jay-Z, you can try this. But Jay-Z is definitely kind of the number one Illuminati guy.
Mm-hmm.
In the music industry right now.
Yeah, and well, also big in Ordo Templi Orientis. Also, members, or past members at this point, were Jack Parsons, one of the first big rocket scientists.
Uh-huh.
And L. Ron Hubbard, who was recruited by Jack Parsons.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Basically... If what they're about is ritualized pleasure to gain power and more pleasure.
Oh, God,
AKA
I love it.
Moolah. They raise demons
uh-huh.
to do one's bidding.
Uh-huh.
And they do this by sex magic.
Oh, love it.
Yeah.
Magic, M-A-G-I-C-K.
Yeah,
imagine,
you know
right?
It is. That's exactly how it's called here. So they have rituals based around sexual exhaustion, and for the highest level members of the order, they have instructions in secret techniques for masturbation.
Wow.
And heterosexual and homosexual sex.
Nice.
And they use these to, as I said, raise demons
mm-hmm.
to do your bidding,
mm-hmm.
get you money, get you power, get you more pleasure. So like a lot of these organizations and, not a secret society, but L. Ron Hubbard basically, formatted Scientology much in the same way, which is you have levels of learning.
Mm-hmm.
And as you go through, more and more secrets are revealed to you.
Right.
And, but you know, by the time you get to the top, there are payoffs and riches that the uninitiated mm-hmm. would never even be able to understand.
It's the incredible pyramid scheme.
Basically, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, that sounds like, okay, great.
Yep.
That's, I'm going to go in. It's going to take a lot of time. It's mm-hmm. going to take a lot of money because these courses all cost money.
Yep.
But you can fast track through.
Mm-hmm.
And the two examples I gave before of Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard, both fast-tracked, they were seen as rising stars
mm-hmm.
Within the order, and within no time became, they were heads of their own chapters,
right.
Their own lodges.
Right.
So basically, you get in there,
mm-hmm.
be an eager beaver,
uh-huh.
Absorb it all,
uh-huh.
start organizing things, start recruiting your own people,
mm-hmm.
And once you're seen as a person who's attracting others, who's exciting others, you will rock it.
Rock
no
it.
Pun intended, Jack Parsons, up the ranks. And you will become a person of power within this organization. And you may think, like, great, how am I supposed to get into something so secret like this?
Uh-huh.
Well, they have a New York chapter.
Of course they do.
And I looked it up on the internet, and like a good secret society, no names were given.
Uh-huh.
No pictures of people were there.
Uh-huh.
No address was there.
Uh-huh.
But they have almost weekly meetups for people who are interested.
Huh.
And you can just sign up, answer a Facebook invite. You can show up.
Do they have a Facebook page?
They did have a Facebook page. They also had...
So if you go on and like them, you will get a Facebook invite.
Oh, yeah, sure, probably. They also have a website
uh-huh.
that they're called, the New York branch, is called the Tahuti Lodge.
Tahuti.
T-A-H-U-T-I. Tahuti Lodge.
Uh-huh.
And their TahutiLodge.org.
Uh-huh.
Or Facebook/Tahuti Lodge. Looked at some. They have a Twitter account of Tahuti Lodge. And I went through looking. They had pictures of their annual fundraising dinner, which was at November 21st at Gabby O'Hara's on 39th between 6th and Broadway. Looked like a very nice event.
Gabby O'Hara's.
Gabby
huh?
O'Hara's.
Why do I feel... I feel like this one has fallen far from its lofty perch from however many
years
ago.
That's what you think until you look at the rosters. You've got the ex Peaches Geldof.
Uh-huh.
You got Jay-Z.
You got Jay-Z,
You have titans of power in this organization. It's easy to get into, hard to get out of.
Uh-huh.
As Peaches found.
It's the Tahuti Lodge?
Tahuti. Tahuti.
Because I had seen information on this was more of a religion, but also a secret society called the Congregation for the Light.
Uh-huh.
And they actually have a building in Manhattan. And you can just go to any meetings that you want, and you can work your way up the hierarchy there.
Okay.
Similarly, I would imagine if you prove to be a rising star, someone that can bring in more people into the fold, you cannot be Jewish.
Oh.
You cannot be black, I believe. They do believe that the followers descended from a master Aryan race on Atlantis.
Oh, I don't like anything Aryan.
And that humans once lived on the moon.
Yeah.
You can't be gay.
Yeah.
Young women aren't meant to go to school.
Ugh.
And they're often married off to older men in the group.
Ugh.
But you can make a lot of money there.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You can also hang out with a bunch of idiots, it sounds like, and scumbags. Or you can join the Ordo Templi Orientis, go have drinks at Gabby O'Hara's, be instructed in secret techniques for masturbation, and raise beasts to do your bidding and hang out with Jay-Z.
Could you imagine if you didn't know that was going on and you walked into Gabby O'Hara's and there was Jay-Z there wanking off?
In a secret way.
Secret way. No, I think full-on wanking off with a whole bunch of other strangers surrounding him, and all you wanted to do was go get a nice pint at Gabby O'Hara's. I mean, it seems like I don't think of Gabby O'Hara's as the kind of sex magic club, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, they probably got a party room. You know, I used to work at a place in Chicago that is no more. It was called the Everly Club. I used to bartend there around the Paul.
Uh-huh.
And before it was the Everly Club, it was a satanic temple. And in the basement, they had just like slapped up the cooler and stuff like that and hadn't removed anything. So there would be all these chunks of wall with like hieroglyphics all over them. And there was like some sort of like altar with a trough around it. And right in the middle of what would have been the giant star thing.
Pentagram.
The pentagram that they had built over was the middle of it would have been right in the beer fridge. And they had some like circles in the cement as you came in the door that was meant to, I don't know, either keep out the spirits or keep in the spirits or whatever it was.
And that's where the pool table was.
No, that was in the front door.
Okay.
The people who owned and ran the place were just like, don't ever let anyone know this. And business was so bad there. I was like, you guys should be pushing this.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, that would have been great for business,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
At least one time someone would, you know, you'd have entire people coming there at least once to have a drink just to say that they drank at the bar that's over a satanic temple.
That's right. So anyway, after you've been instructed in your secret techniques for masturbation, you've raised your beast, they've done your bidding, you've got your riches, you're going to want to spend that money somehow.
Right.
You're going to want to not just you know, sit back and secretly masturbate all day.
Spunk and gold, baby.
Yeah. So, you know, if you've made your millions, you can look at this as a tip for ways to spend that money. If you haven't quite made those millions yet, look at this for inspiration. Get off the couch. Get out there. Do what needs to be done in order to make the world do your bidding.
Want to spend your summer in style? Then check out the Element Palazzo. Listed at over $3.1 million, as reported by Yahoo, it is said to be the world's most expensive motorhome. Inside the upscale caravan is a massive master bedroom, fireplace, and a 40-inch television. It even has a rooftop terrace. The driver's seat resembles more of a plane cockpit with futuristic windows and propeller-like windshield washing blades. The moving mansion is capable of traveling as fast as 93 miles per hour. With the simple push of a button, the motorhome transforms into what is called a sky lounge, which contains a cocktail pop-up bar. A rainfall shower and a barbecue grill are a few more highlights, while a kitchen area and underfloor heating serve as basis amenities. Measuring 40 feet in length, the exterior color choices include white and extravagant gold.
So there you go, a $3.5 million motorhome. I want to know the billionaire that's driving around the country in a $3.5 million motorhome.
It might just be a $3.5 millionaire who wants to be the undisputed king of the RV lot.
Rolling into all the RV lots with all the old people sitting there just admiring the hell out of his, going on up to the pop-up rooftop bar and the rainfall shower.
Yeah,
I saw an image of it, of the specs of it, and when he talks of the propeller windshield, so there is three windshield wipe. It's a big, the front, it's more like a cabin, a glass encased cabin in the front, bubbles out like a spaceship. And the windshield wipers are three, like a propeller, and they're attached to a rotating thing in the center of the windshield. So they actually spin like a propeller, just whacking away water as it comes pouring down.
Wow.
This thing. I can't imagine, having driven an RV a couple times in my life, I can't imagine driving 193 miles an hour.
No.
That's like, that's instant death. That thing catches some wind coming across, you're just going to just wipe out.
Yeah.
You're going to kill
What a
people.
Way to go, though, man.
In your $3.5 million RV. Yeah. So, as always, we would like you folks out there to reach out to us, contact us, let us know what's going on in your lives, and how it revolves around Get Rich Quick with Josh and Noel.
That's right. You can tweet us if you'd like at GRQ Josh Noel.
You can email us at GRQ with Josh and Noel.
You can
at gmail.com.
Oh, or you can Facebook us at Facebook/GRQ Josh Noel.
Our contest is still going on.
That's right.
For the P jars. Take a picture and send us a photo of your P jar, and we'll send you stickers to decorate it, or give us ideas for topics or rules to get rich by. And we will send you a special one-of-a-kind GRQ Get Rich Quick with Josh and Noel P jar.
That's right, because you're too busy making money and counting money to get up and go to the bathroom.
That's right.
Sometimes you just need to pee in a jar.
Always need to pee in a jar. So, as always around this time, I think it's time to do our rules, Noel.
That's right. If you're listening on a podcast, you can pause for one moment and go to iTunes, subscribe, and rate and review us.
That's right.
And now that you're back, brought to you by Radio Free Brooklyn, we're going to look at our
Get Rich Quick
rules for getting rich quick, culled from the internet.
That's right.
That we're going to judge our schemes by. So where did you get these rules from this week, Josh?
So every year, Forbes puts out an investment guide where they give 365 ways to get rich.
Okay.
And this is, I have them all here, my friend.
We don't have time for all
no,
of them.
No, not going to do 365, but that's a rule a day for a year. And they come from all sorts of different famous investors. So number one way to get rich, from Sir John Templeton, invest at the point of maximum pessimism.
I don't know how to take that one.
I think if you are joining a a secret society mm-hmm. like the Illuminati, you're pretty pessimistic about the state of humanity. Yeah. You feel need to...
You're definitely cynical about the state of humanity.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You feel they need to be controlled, and you need to be the one to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give us a check on that one. Reduce your employer's company stock in your 401k.
Yeah, get rid of it. You don't need that stock. All you need is to sign up for every Illuminati site on the internet.
That's right.
Or you need to, you know, go down to Gabby O'Hara's, learn some secret techniques of masturbation to raise some demons, do your bidding.
That's right. Warren Buffett, rule number one is never lose money. Rule number two is never forget rule number one.
Boom, ba-da-boom, boom, boom, boom.
So that's 3 for 3. I'm going to say we're getting rich.
Yep.
As always, we're getting rich because we always manage to figure it out. As always, Herschel _the_ Doxador on Instagram. Thanks again for listening, guys. We look forward to receiving some tithes from you in the very near future.
Yeah, or tweets of your pee jars.
Oh, that too. Yeah. All right.
So, hey, guys, don't spend all that knowledge in one place.
Get rich quick.